I want to read this to you because, you know, the enemy is trying to bring hopelessness and despair, and the word that he spoke through Sue that time was desolation, and get you looking at everything that's not going right. And then here comes our pastor who hears God. And if you don't think so, do y'all watch the people in the prayer line? That same anointing is all that's always been there, you know. And when Dave speaks, you better pay attention now when he's, you know. When I listen to this, this came this morning by tongues and interpretation through Pastor Dave. And the Lord says, for this city, I ordained a move. God says, I ordained a move, which I have spoken of in the past. Many things are going to begin to happen, which I will be able to bring revival through. And it is not far away. So rejoice. Let's do that. Hallelujah! We heard you, Lord. We heard you, Lord. It's not far away. We're not moved by what we see. We're moved by what you say. Hallelujah! 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 Glory to God. Isn't that wonderful? Now he continues. He says, we are, and I like how the Lord says, we are closer to what I have told you the whole time that I revealed of revival by faith that would affect this city. So be strong and know this. It is keyed to come to pass. Some of you sometimes get to thinking, when is it going to come to pass? Just think, is coming to pass. Jesus is Lord over Tulsa. Tulsa is in revival. Is that encouraging or what? Let's give the Lord a hand. Thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for the encouragement, Lord. Thank you for continuing to encourage us and lift us up. Hallelujah. Get your Bibles out or your iPhones or your iPads or whatever it is that you... The Lord's not going to, I don't think He's going to let us off of this bridling your tongue thing for a while. And because we're preparing for a battle. Remember that prophecy? It says you need to kind of get over the old battle. Get your sword clean again. Get the rust off of it. Because we got a new battle coming up. And I'm telling you right now, if we're soldiers in this battle, we better be trained and good at what we do. Okay? So I was asking Him and praying and seeking the Lord this afternoon about it. And I started trying to look up certain scriptures on... continuing on the path of bridling your tongue. And I'm starting to try and put it together. And the Lord says, you've already done this. You already had this lesson prepared. I said, I do. I'm real quick, you know, I do. And He took me back to the Believer's Boot Camp. One of the lessons there is called Bridle Your Tongue. Bridle Your Tongue. Now, just so you, I didn't print out anything because... it's all available at GaryCarpenter.org for free, and it's in the Christian Foundation section. When you go there, one of the sections is Christian Foundations, and I think the first one is the workbook series. The second one is the boot camp series, and that's what this one is. And the third lesson in it, I think, is called Bridle Your Tongue. Bridle Your Tongue. It's got all these scriptures. It's got confessions, and I'm going to give you the shortened version here. Okay, I'm just pretty much going to read these printed parts here, and then we're going to speak. We're going to look at some scripture, and then we're going to do some confession for a little while. Is that okay? All right. So, now in your Bible, go ahead and turn to Proverbs 18:21, and you put a marker in James 1. Pinch those two together. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. See, the Word of God is truth. Did you know truth does not change? Bridle your tongue will be truth 1,000 years from now. Bridle your tongue will still be truth. It'll never change. It is truth. Truth does not change. Okay, facts change. Truth changes facts. All right. Did you find Proverbs 18? Now, we're just going to look at the first part of it. Listen to this. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Say that out loud with me. Death and life. Excuse me. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Say it this way. Death is in my tongue. Life is in my tongue. It's my choice what I speak. You got that? See, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Now, let me just read here. The single most important weapon. Now, see, this was called the boot camp series. And the whole idea was we are an army going in to do warfare to bring revival to this city. Okay? So we're like soldiers in training. We are in boot camp. So it always has a theme like that when I'm teaching. So the single most important weapon that a believer has at his disposal is the tongue. You got that? See, I mentioned this morning in Ephesians 6 where it says put on the whole armor of God and talking about our warfare. Every piece of that armor is defensive except one. And that is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. But the Bible on your coffee table is not a sword. It's not a sword. It's not a sword until you take, just like Jesus did, it is written, and you put that word in your mouth and begin speaking it. That's when you get on the offensive. That's when you go to war yourself. Okay? Your tongue is your number one weapon against the devil, just as surely as an M16 rifle is the number one weapon of a soldier in the army. It is always loaded. Your tongue is always loaded, and it always produces results. You cannot turn its power off and on at will. Try that with an M16. I'm going to pull the trigger this time, and it'll shoot. I'm going to pull the trigger next time, and it won't shoot. If it's loaded, it'll shoot. Isn't that right? Well, your tongue is always loaded, and you're always speaking death or life, always. And you can't turn the power off and on. Your tongue is always working either for you or against you. What you say will always have an effect on you and the people you talk about. Always. This knowledge is not born in us. This knowledge is not born in us. Most people think that it really makes no difference what they say. And that's not what the Bible teaches. The truth is, however, now this is truth, you will never rise above your confession. You limit God. Even in Malachi, he said, your words have been stout against me. You have limited the Holy One. Isn't that something? And it's by your words, see? The Apostle James, now you can turn to James 1:26. This was our foundation scripture this morning. The Apostle James said it like this, James 1:26. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Now, what would seem to be religious? I go to church. I worship. I pray in tongues. I give in the offering. I share my testimony. Just go on and on and on. And it's all good stuff. It's not bad stuff. But he says, but there's one thing now. If you don't learn to bridle your tongue, none of that is going to change your circumstances. But your tongue will, if you learn to bridle it. The Greek word translated vain in that verse simply means profitless. If you don't learn to become expert at bridling your tongue, your Christianity will profit you nothing in this life. You can go to heaven when you die, but you will not live an overcoming life now. To think that you're going to conquer your enemy without bridling your tongue would be like an American soldier in World War II thinking he could conquer Hitler's armies without a weapon. Imagine an American soldier throwing down his rifle, simply walking up to the enemy line, thinking that the enemy would surrender simply because he was an American. We do that all the time. I'm a Christian. Just walk up there, blah, 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 say anything you want. Think, the enemy's got to surrender just because I'm a Christian. No, you got to learn to bridle your tongue. Okay, I'm staying with the lesson here. So think again of that. Here, I'm going to read that. Imagine an American soldier throwing down his rifle and simply walking up to the enemy line, thinking that the enemy would surrender simply because he was an American. The enemy would have laughed as they would have shot him to death, and he would have been the butt of their jokes around the campfire that night. Most Christians are even more foolish than that soldier, because they haven't just thrown down their weapon, but they're actually using it against themselves and against their fellow soldiers. Every time you speak opposite to the Word of God concerning yourself, you shoot yourself in the foot, and your enemy laughs. Every time you speak against your brother or sister, you are shooting them in the foot, and your enemy laughs. To the enemy, Christians are like an army of amateur soldiers who were never trained in the use of their weapons. They watch with glee as we badmouth ourselves, gossip about others, slander others, and speak judgment on others. In the spirit realm, demons sit back with glee as they watch us run around shooting ourselves and our fellow soldiers. And the biggest belly laugh of all is when they watch us operate like that and then hear us say, "Why doesn't God bless me?" The demons roll with laughter and say, "What fools." I hope this is making you mad. Oh, in fact, it says, "Christian, I hope this is making you mad." Fighting mad. I hope it makes you mad. Fighting mad. Mad enough to once and for all decide that you are going to bridle your tongue with the Word of God. Make the decision today to begin scheduling time to do nothing but confess the Word of God. Become expert by practice in using your tongue in exactly the same way that a soldier becomes an expert marksman by practicing with his M16 rifle. We don't just hand them a rifle and send them out. You go to marksman school. You practice. You get out on the training field and you practice. I thank God for this service called Calling in the Lost. It is one of the few places I know of anywhere where you can go and on purpose for about a half hour practice calling those things which be not as though they were. That does not come naturally to human beings. But this is talking about at your own home. We are going to practice here in a few minutes speaking some word, not besides the confessions that we always do. But if you were going to become a skilled marksman with an M16 rifle, wouldn't you get out on the field and do some target practice? There's nothing wrong with you taking the Word of God and standing in front of your mirror and begin speaking God's Word over yourself, over your house, over your kids, over your church, over your pastor, over your family, over revival, everything. Begin becoming an expert. Jesus was. When he got attacked, he didn't say, "Just a minute, I'll be back. I got to go study first." He was already full of the Word of God. He already had the Word of God in his heart in abundance. Man, he had ammo right up to the brim. He was ready. It is written, it is written, it is written. And that, I'm telling you right now, the enemy has no defense against the Word of God spoken in faith. He has nothing. He has nothing. Hallelujah. Get out on the target range and practice by spending hours doing nothing but speaking God's Word over and over, just like a marksman in target practice, until you become expert at it. That's good, isn't it? Notice that the Apostle James, let's look at that verse again. "If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue," but now notice, but deceiveth his own heart. This man's religion is vain. Notice that the Apostle James says there is a connection between the tongue and the heart. You see that? Speaking contrary to God's word causes a person's heart to be deceived. It doesn't know what to believe. Deception is when you don't know the truth, isn't it? It's when you don't, you're not sure. What, am I sick or am I not sick? Did God bless my, am I going to prosper or not prosper? I'm thinking right now, when our three daughters, you know, pray for any family that has three teenagers at the same time. All three of ours went into rebellion at the same time. That doesn't have to happen, but it did at our house, all three of them. And I'm telling you, it got bad. It got real bad. And it lasted a while. I like, you know, if it's going to be a war, let's get done in 5 minutes. Yeah, this went on for years, you know. And I'm telling you, in the natural, all kinds, you know, you're a parent, you love your kids, and I'd wake up in the night seeing them get drunk in my mind, you know, having a car wreck, and they're all three girls, I see them get raped, and just in my mind, you know, the enemy's planting all these thoughts. I have a thing at home called good quotes. He says, hey, you know what the enemy does with those thoughts? He puts them in your mind, and then they run around your head looking for your tongue. That's a good one. See, and until you give voice to it, it has no power over you. Isn't that good? That's what the enemy's trying to do with all those thoughts, trying to get you to speak it, because death and life is in the power of the tongue. Anyway, so in our own self, now, my heart was getting deceived. Man, I'd had these visions, I'd had these dreams, all this stuff about the kids, you know, my daughters getting raped or being in car wrecks or all kinds of crazy stuff, you know. And if you just start speaking all that, you deceive your own heart. You don't know what to think. You don't know what's coming. You're not in faith. You're being manipulated. That's why it says, if you don't learn to bridle your tongue. One time, now, if Amanda was here, that's my youngest daughter. She's the one that got in the most trouble. I've told you about it before. I don't normally tell this part. One time she pulled a knife on me and growled like an animal. And she was strong. She used to do weightlifting. She was about 17 at the time. She was strong. I mean, you know, she was. Anyways, I got her by the wrist and I pinned her against the wall. Knife still in her hand. And I said, this came out of my mouth. Why? Because I've been practicing this. I said, you are a good girl. Someday you're going to find that out. She turned out to be a good girl, too. After that, we won that war, and she became, you know, she got married, raised two lovely kids, and good wife, and she served us, and she worked with us in the ministry for years, you know. Now she's married and lives in Montana. You know, praise God. Okay, let me restart this again. Notice that the Apostle James says there is a connection between the tongue and the heart. Speaking contrary to God's word causes a person's heart to be deceived. The opposite is also true. Speaking in agreement with God's word causes a person's heart to be filled with truth. See, God gave us a verse. I didn't know what to do. I kept praying. I said, God, I don't know what to do. And he gave us that passage out of the book of Isaiah, where God says, I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children. Man, we hung on to that. We quoted that back to God. I don't know. I bet I must have said that 1,000 times. Maybe more than that. God, you're contending with those that are contending against my children. You're going to contend with them, and you're going to save my children. And he did too, boy. But see, we would spend time speaking that so that our heart would be full of that instead of all the visions and all the worry and all the stuff that the enemy was trying to plant in us, see? Speak that instead. And at church we'd come, you know, or anybody, you know, they'd say, well, how are your daughters doing? Now, it would have been real easy to just say, oh, we don't know what's going to happen. They're in the bars and they're drinking. We didn't raise them this way. And I'm so worried and fearful. But thank God we had good teaching even back in those days. And if you had, boy, we were primed. We had the pump primed. How you're, and we knew, now you got to understand when I say what I'm about to say, we knew they were in the bars drinking, carousing, and doing stuff that hopefully I never find out. I don't ever want to know. But we knew that was what was going on, that if you'd asked us, and they did, people would ask, well, how's your daughters, you know, or just one of them, how they doing? Our daughters are the handmaidens of the Lord. They prophesy, they speak with tongues. They serve the Lord their God with all their heart, all their soul, all their mind, and all their strength. Our daughters only speak righteousness. Only righteousness comes out of their mouth. They are filled with the Spirit of life, and they walk not in darkness. However long you wanted to stand there is how long we'd keep talking like that. But we practiced it. We filled ourselves with it. And that's what our heart was set on. And that's what we spoke. And that's what we had. Amen? You understand it? Otherwise, you start speaking all that trash, your heart is going to be deceived. It's not going to know what to focus on, what to believe. Faith is of the heart, not of the head. You got to have faith in your heart, the deepest part of you. Be settled. All kinds of thoughts can be going through your head. Now, I've been through this a long time. But even while that's going on, just don't give voice to it. And you keep your heart settled on what God said. And you keep your tongue speaking what God said. And you'll have what God said, because God cannot lie. Pat Rowe tells me all the time, it's impossible for God to lie. Cannot lie. All right, keep going here now. I got to quit preaching so much, we're not going to get through this. Okay. Speaking contrary to God's word causes a person's heart to be deceived. But the opposite is also true. Speaking in agreement with God's word causes a person's heart to be filled with truth. As you spend time on purpose speaking God's word, you are driving deception from your heart. And at the same time, you are filling your heart with the truth. Now go to Luke 6:45. I should have already had you going there. Luke 6:45. Hallelujah. Now, by the way, again, you can print all of this word for word directly from the website. You can afford it. It's free. It's in the Believer's Boot Camp. You'll see it there. And we have it, you can print it in two ways, either PDF or Word, either one, whatever you like better. Okay, Luke 6:45, Jesus is speaking. He says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. That Greek word translated treasure in that verse can also be translated deposit. A deposit. Every time you speak God's word, you are making a deposit of truth into your heart. A heart full of deception will always produce evil things when the tongue speaks. But when truth is in your heart in abundance, when you speak, you will bring forth good things. Begin depositing truth. I don't know many people that actually do that. Sue and I did. We made up confession sheets. There are still books. In those days, Charles Capps was very popular, and he's got a... There's a little white book and a little green book. And the little white book, I think it's called God's Creative Power. And the little green one is God's Creative Power for Healing. And later on, he came out with one for finances, too. But they're very good. Get you something to help. You can still buy those. Now, back then, they were like 80 cents, and I think now they're like $1.50 or $2. Get some help or something. But having the book won't help you. Just like I found out joining the gym didn't help me. I found out I actually had to go, and I found out even going doesn't help me. I had to actually stay and work out and get on the treadmill and sweat. Oh. Now I'm going to give you some scriptures here. There's so many. You can look at all these if you want to. We've got enough time, I think, to do this. But mainly write these down. These are really some of the best that there is for this truth about bridling your tongue and how important it is. One of them is, you don't have to turn to these, but you can if you want to. Proverbs 4:24. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. You got that? Now, is God going to do that for you? Who's going to do that? You're going to do it, or it's not going to get done. Proverbs 5:1-2. My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to mine understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. Isn't that interesting how that's worded? Not just your mind. Wisdom is when you learn to let your lips keep knowledge, where your lips speak in agreement with God's word. Proverbs 8:5-11. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and you fools, be of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak, see, wisdom speaks, I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth. You know, this is God talking here. Wisdom is God. This is the Holy Spirit. My mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. This is good confession for you to make over yourself. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared with it. Okay, now here's Proverbs 10:13. In the lips of him that hath understanding, say it with me, lips. In the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found. But a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. Proverbs 10:20-22. The tongue of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. The blessing of the Lord. Now, see, people quote this verse all the time without quoting the adjacent one that we just read. They quote this one. The blessing of the Lord, it makes rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. But what did he just say? The tongue of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. The blessing of, you want the blessing of the Lord? Better change what you're saying. Okay. Proverbs 12:13. This is really deep, Pastor Gary. I don't know if I can understand what this means. The wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips. What? What's causing my snaring? What's causing me to get caught? The transgression of the lips. But the just shall come out of trouble. And I have on here in parentheses, if words mean anything, by the obedience of the lips. That's the subject. Isn't that right? The wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips. What could that mean? Proverbs 12:22. I'll quit. Lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. Here's Proverbs 13:3. I used to have this one on my mirror. I don't know how long. I printed this one out in a just a big sheet of paper. I had it on my mirror where every time I'd go in there, I'd see this and I'd say it I don't know how many times. Proverbs 13:3, he that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life. But he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. Doesn't that sound like death and life? Doesn't that sound like unless you bridle your tongue? Okay, Proverbs 14:3. In the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride. I added some of my own. The proud think they can just speak anything they want to out of their mouth. Then the word says, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them. What does? Can it actually say that? Can it really mean that? The lips of the wise shall preserve them? It sure did Jesus. And the devil attacked him. It is written. It is written. It is written. Sure preserved him. So the wise, I put it, my thought there, the wise bridle their tongue with the word of God, just like Jesus did. Proverbs 14:7. Go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. Here's some of my thoughts. Your ears are not trash cans. Don't listen to gossip. And if they won't stop speaking it, simply walk away. Does it not say, go from them? You can say, look, this works. I've done this so many times, this works. Now, I can't use anybody here, but let's say somebody came and they're just gossiping about Brother Tim. I could pick anybody. Anybody. Just pick anybody. They come and they start bad-mouthing, just saying anything. I'll pick Tim because he's the normal target. That Tim, he just walked by me. He's the most arrogant guy, I'll tell you. He just... Now, see, what they don't know, I've known Tim for over 20 years. Tim is the most focused man I have ever seen. Tim has this ability that very few people have. When he focuses on a problem, he can walk. I've known the guy for 20 years, and he'll pass me right back there. He'll be walking past. He did not see me. He is focused. He not acknowledge me at all. But people don't know it. That most people are not like that, and so they get offended. Well, he walked right past me and didn't even acknowledge me. Oh, brother, you got big problems. But anyway, so that Tim, he's so arrogant. Now, this works. I'm telling you, this works. How do you know? I've done it 100 times or more. See, I see you have Brother Tim on your heart. Let's pray for Brother Tim right now. You go ahead and lead. Go ahead. You go ahead. Because I can tell you have Brother Tim on your heart. You go right here. I get him by the hand. They can't go away now. I got him by the hand. You go right ahead. And you know, most of the time they will. They'll pray because they're too embarrassed not to. And it stops the gossip. You do that two or three times, they'll go start picking somebody else to gossip to. This works. I've never seen it not work. Okay. That's just a little. So if I do it to you now, you know what I'm doing. Not supposed to give away all my secrets, you know. But if they really won't stop, people that just gossip, I've actually told people before, I said, I'm going to have to break fellowship with you. You and I can't hang out. We're not going to go eat anymore together. Because, we've talked about, my ears are not trash cans. I'm not going to sit here and let you gossip, even if I think it's true. How does that help the situation? Just establish what already is? You know? Anyway. Hallelujah. Proverbs 16:13. Righteous lips are the delight of kings, and they love him that speaks right. Proverbs 16:27. An ungodly man diggeth up evil, and in his lips is a burning fire. My thoughts. You are working for the enemy when you dig up evil and begin speaking gossip and slander against your neighbor. Proverbs 18:7. This is the last one for this lesson. Gary, what does this mean? It cannot mean what it says. Proverbs 18:7. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. Isn't that something? See, that knowledge is not born in humans. It doesn't come natural. This is truth from above. This is wisdom from someone way smarter than us. This is from God Himself. Now, I made a few little confessions, and we got time for this. These confessions are based on this lesson. These confessions are, you can print them from the same lesson, Bridle Your Tongue, at the website. And you'll like them. They're all in line with the Word of God. So you can just repeat after me. It said, I am a soldier in the army of the Lord. My tongue is my number one weapon against the enemy. The Word of God is my ammunition. I always speak God's Word. I am a skilled marksman with words. I never shoot myself in the foot. And I never shoot my neighbor in the foot. I spend hours speaking God's Word to remain being a sharpshooter. The enemy never laughs at me. The enemy fears me as a trained marksman. Demons run for cover when I speak. I am skilled in the handling of the word of righteousness. I will not tolerate gossip. I will not speak it. I will not hear it. I will not tolerate slander. I will not speak it. I will not hear it. And I will not tolerate lies. I will not speak them. And I will not hear them. I go from them that speak evil. They're trying to shoot me in the foot. And I'd rather be rude than shot. My words bring death or life to me every time I speak. I bridle my tongue with the word of God. On purpose. I spend time bridling my tongue. With the word of God on purpose. I spend time on the target field. Practicing my skill with words. I make deposits of truth in my heart. By speaking God's word. Deception leaves my heart. As I speak God's word. Truth fills my heart. As I speak God's word. I target my enemy every time I speak. Every word I speak is a shot fired. One of my son-in-laws has a T-shirt. He's a military man. And this T-shirt says, stay calm and return fire. That is real good counsel. That is very scriptural. The enemy's always shooting those fiery darts at you. You keep your armor on like a good trained soldier. You don't panic. You don't run off. You stay calm and you return fire. But how you return fire is you begin speaking the word of God. There's time to be silent. There's time to speak. We're in a warfare. Now, I'm telling you right now, my counsel to myself, after seeing what's going on and what the Lord's saying right now, it's been a little while. You know, we do it on Sunday nights, but it's been a little while since I've got in my, just me and the Lord, got in front of my mirror, taking out one of those, you know, like the Charles Capps kind of book, where they have confessions on healing, where they have confessions on whatever, and just begin speaking it. Become skilled. Become filled. Just fill my heart with the Word of God. Meditation, y'all know I love meditation and assimilation, but there's also a speaking. And it's time to get out on the practice field, get out on the target field, and become a skilled marksman now with our words. Did you get anything out of that? Hallelujah, hallelujah.